Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. They say the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again while expecting different results. And while this may be true in practical applications, it is not the case when it comes to biblical parables. We should never underestimate the power of the Holy Spirit to change hardened hearts over to faith in Christ Jesus. In our gospel text this morning, it is a continuation of Jesus' conversation that he had with the religious leaders in the temple last week that we heard. The setting is Holy Week. Jesus had just made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And then he angered the temple leaders by running the money changers out of the temple. And as we heard last week, the leaders asked Jesus, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Well, the officials had all the proof they needed throughout Jesus' ministry. They had heard his teachings. They had witnessed his miracles. But being smug in their self-righteousness, they refused to believe. They rejected Jesus as the promised Messiah. So Jesus tells them a parable. His parable is quite similar to our Old Testament reading that we just heard read. That parable is from God, sung through the voice of Isaiah, his prophet, sung some 700 years earlier. And it begins as a beautiful love song describing the long-suffering patience that God has for his people, patience for his vineyard, God's believers. He promised to make them a great nation, and he led them out of bondage. He led them to the land flowing with milk and honey. Every step of the way, he took care of them. He provided for them. He forgave them their sins when they turned his back against them. Everything they ever needed, he provided right into the promised land. And best of all, he promised to send a Messiah. But this love song quickly turns to an indictment of God's people. He condemns the vineyard. God's chosen people, rather than bearing fruits of repentance and fruits of the Spirit, they produce wild grapes. Wild grapes being an analogy for all types of sin, such as idolatry, injustice, and impenitence. So because of these wild grapes, God will remove his protection from the vineyard. He will allow the vineyard to be broken into pieces and the people destroyed. Now in Jesus' parable, he focuses the audience differently. Instead of speaking to the entire Israeli nation, he points to the chief priests, the elders, and the Pharisees. And it sounds like he's preaching the same parable that was preached 700 years earlier, expecting the same results. Jesus tells of a vineyard, a tower, and a wine press. The owner of the vineyard is God the Father, and the vineyard is Christ's church. The vineyard lacks for nothing. God has provided her all that she would ever need. But the chief priests and the Pharisees, they were still bearing the fruits of their ancestors. Nothing but wild grapes. They had holier-than-thou attitudes. They were confident in their prestige and their power. They were complacent. And they were completely satisfied to try to keep their watered-down version of God's law. They blinded themselves to prophecy, and rejected all of God's promises. But Jesus told them this parable to remind them of the history of their ancestors, continually spurning God, reminding them prophet after prophet God sent into the nation, God's servants, into the vineyard Israel, calling them to turn back from their sin, repent of their sin, calling them to come back to faith, come back to God's promises. Time and time again, they took the Lord's prophets, beating one, killing another, and stoning another. Now to us, it seems kind of ridiculous. What normal landowner, after the first person was injured, would continue sending more servants into the vineyard? But God's ways are not our ways. In his rich love and mercy, he's slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He desires that all men be saved. He would send more and more prophets into his vineyard. He would send the second to the last prophet, John the Baptist, to warn them, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he would send the final prophet, his only begotten son, into the vineyard to proclaim, repent, and believe in the gospel. You see, God's love is unwavering. Over centuries upon centuries, the Lord of the church has continued to send his servants into the vineyard to bring forth the harvest by the preaching of his word. First it was the prophets, then the apostles, and today he sends preachers out to proclaim. Only many of them are abused, beaten, and some even martyred. We see this around the world. And whether you realize it or not, it goes on at home as well. You see, the reaction to God's message is always the same. We hear it all the time. Pastor, I know I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself, but you don't know my neighbor. My neighbor is unlovable. Or pastor, I know my kids need to be in church on Sunday morning, but if they don't play on the traveling team on Sunday, the high school team won't let them on the team because they don't have experience. Pastor, I know God promises to provide for me. I know that he calls me to give my tithe to the church on my first fruits. But what if I get laid off? I need to build a reserve. And the list goes on. Satan loves planting those little seeds of doubt and creating division between pastor and congregation, between parishioner and parishioner. He loves to whisper in your ear, did God really say, fill in the blank? He did it with the children of Israel as they wandered the desert. He did it among the chief priests and the Pharisees. He does it today in the church. Like the Pharisees, no one wants to be shown the mirror of God's law. No one likes to hear that they are a sinner. No one likes to think that hell is a real place filled with real sinners who did not believe in Jesus. It's much easier to believe that good people doing good things will go to heaven. But Scripture is clear. Unbelievers will be put out of the vineyard and receive the fruits of their labors in due season. Our God remains patient, long-suffering. He remains the owner of the vineyard who sent his very own son, the final prophet, into the world. To save you, Christ Jesus came as servant, he came as messenger, and as sole heir to the kingdom. The nation of Israel was the original builders of the Christian church, God's vineyard. Saint Peter confessed, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it would be upon the rock of this confession that Christ would build his church. The gates of hell will not prevail. As Jesus foretold in his parable, these tenant builders, the Jewish authorities, would reject him. Jesus didn't fit their narrative. He wasn't the king that they wanted. And as sure as the tenants in the parable threw out the owner's son and out of the vineyard and killed him, they would drive Jesus out of Jerusalem and crucify him in a garbage dump outside of town. They rejected the stone that would become the cornerstone. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he sent out his apostles to the vineyard, to all nations, to baptize and teach all that he had commanded. And in those short months following his ascension, Saint Peter stood before the Jewish leaders and said, "This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Eternal salvation comes by grace alone, faith by faith in Jesus alone. It doesn't come from Allah or Muhammad. You can go look at Confucius and Krishna, Brahman, Vishnu, and Shiva. But these are all false gods. Salvation is in Christ alone. As the owner of the vineyard, the Lord of the church continues to send out his servants, he calls them to your congregation to administer his sacraments and to preach his word, so that the vineyard, his servants, the church and her members, would bear good fruit, keeping in fruits of repentance, fruits of faith, and fruits of the Spirit, those being love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's by God's grace that you have been placed in the vineyard. You have been placed in Christ's church for the sake of Jesus' holy, innocent sufferings, death, and his blood. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. In Christ's church, he provides all you need to nurture fruits of repentance, and fruits of the Spirit. He has built a wall around you, and he has set you apart in holy baptism. He sends his pastors as watchmen in his tower to warn you of the dangers of sin and by proclaiming to you his word. He has dug a wine press among you to strengthen you in drinking of Jesus' body and blood in his holy supper. And it all sounds like insanity. The same parable expecting different results, as we discussed in Bible study this morning. Water in the word, bread, wine in the word. It does sound like insanity. Except this time, Jesus got the last word. When he hung on the cross, he said, "It is finished." God raised him from the dead and placed him as cornerstone of his holy church. And because of Jesus' death, you, for his sake, have been placed in the vineyard and are forgiven of your sins. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.